You got your Bibles turned with me. Amen. To 2 Samuel. Hope you all had a great week. Let's go to the 5th chapter, if you would. Hallelujah. Verse 17, once you get it. I'm so blessed to share the word of the Lord with you. It is a great honor, a great privilege. I know there are trying times, and I know we're up against all kinds of things today, and there's nothing we need any more today than guidance, amen? It's not resources, it's not friends, it's not a condo in the Bahamas. What we need right now is God's GPS. Hallelujah. Somebody shout GPS. God's GPS, amen. We need guidance, a guidance system, so we don't waste time, make mistakes, tear up people's lives, hurt situations, trying to figure out which way to go. We want to look at that this morning. We want to listen, and that God has a guidance system that will prepare your heart for what is happening in your life. And how many know there's a lot of things happening in our life and in our world, and it will show you where you are and where you are in relationship to your destiny. How many know we need to know where we are? And if we're off course, get us back on course. And if we're not off course, keep us on course. Amen. Hallelujah. We'll talk about that in just a moment. 2 Samuel. 5th chapter, 17th verse. When you've got it, would you stand with me in honor of the author of this book? Look at somebody one more time. Look at them while you got it there and open. Say, you've got what it takes. Go on, tell them. You got what it takes. Yeah, you got what it takes. Hallelujah. You got it, and you got what it takes, too. Praise God. Look at chapter, let's look at verse 17, just a few verses. But when the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David, and David heard of it and went down to the hold. Or when he was told they were coming, he went into the stronghold. They were trying to capture him. And the Philistines, verse 18, also came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? David prayed, wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto David, go up, for I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thy hand. He asking the Lord in prayer, shall I go out to fight against them? And will you defeat them for me? The Lord says, go ahead. Amen. Go on. For I will give them to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And verse 20, and David came to Baal-perazim. Somebody say Baal-perazim. That's the place of breakthrough. That's the God of breakthrough. And David smote them there and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me. Amen. He has defeated them. And as a breach of waters, he burst through my enemies like a raging flood. Therefore, he called the name of the place Baal-perazim, the place of breakthrough. Somebody shout breakthrough. Yeah, God's got some bursting, breaking forth and breaking through today. I said we're going to break through some things. Going to break through, amen, going to be a bursting forth. Hallelujah. Oh, my God, I feel the Holy Ghost already. Verse 21, at that time, David and his troops confiscated many idols which had been abandoned by the Philistines. And verse 22, and the Philistines came up yet again and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And when David asked the Lord what to do, he replied, don't make a frontal attack. He said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass behind them and come up upon them over against the mulberry trees. Don't make a frontal attack. Go behind them and come out by the trees. And when you hear a sound like marching feet in the tops of the trees, attack. For it will signify that the Lord has prepared the way for you and will destroy them. For the Lord shall go out before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. And David did so, and as the Lord commanded him, and smote the Philistines from Geba until thou come to Gezer. So the Lord, David did as the Lord instructed him and destroyed the enemy all the way from here to there. Amen. How many know that's what God wants to do in your life today and in my life, in the life of the church? Destroy from here to there. Whoo, my God, my God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word today. Your word is life, is liberty. I thank you for liberty, for freedom we've been called and been set free. Bless every heart now. Father, I thank you for each one. Bless them now. Bless your word. Your word is blessed forever in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. You may be seated in his presence. We all have moments in life when we don't know what our next step should be. But what if the creator of the universe had a plan? A GPS to get you to your destination of destiny. Have you ever taken the wrong turn? Have you ever been lost and found yourself going in the wrong direction? I know I have more times than I care to admit. And I still get lost from time to time. And I may know even the most experienced drivers can get turned around with all the detours and alternate routes and different things, traffic, whatever it is. Amen. But don't worry. I've got good news this morning for us today. Amen. Got good news for you. And my assignment is to let you know that God's GPS is for you and is available to bring you into your destiny. Amen. God's GPS. You may have felt like you took the wrong turn. You may have went the wrong way. You may have missed your chance. But God's plan for your life and mine is far, far from over. I said you can miss it, but that doesn't mean it's over. And who hasn't missed it? Amen. God can reroute you. God can navigate you through rough times. God is taking you and taking us and taking me to a place greater than we imagined. I said God is taking you to a place greater than you'd imagined. We're going somewhere. I know it doesn't seem like we're going somewhere. Sometimes it seems like I don't know where we're going. But we're going somewhere greater than you've imagined. And no matter how dark the road seems right now or in the future or how far you feel from your destination, God can make a way. God even has a GPS. Hallelujah. Thank God for God's GPS. It says, take a right turn ahead. Take a left turn in 2 miles. Go straight ahead. I mean, no, God knows the way. Hallelujah. God knows the way. And God can make a way. That's why the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalms 1:105. God's GPS. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it when you turn to the right hand. And when you turn to the left. Isaiah 30:1. God's GPS. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. Psalms 42. Thank God for establishing our goings. God's GPS, guidance, direction, help. God's GPS is available for your life today. And so the message today, if you probably have guessed by now, is God's GPS. Whether it's in the midst of the storm or whatever it might be. And I like what the Living Bible said here when David defeated them and fought with them at Baal-perazim, had a breakthrough, had a bursting forth. How many know we could use a bursting forth? Hallelujah. I said you could use a bursting forth. You could use God to move through the things that have been moving against you. Amen. And against me. And so we see that God, but I like what David said in verse 20. He talked about the breach. He said, Lord, you made a breakthrough here. And then David says, after he defeated him, he says, the Lord did it. He shouted, the Lord did it. Somebody shout, the Lord did it. Yeah, what's going to be done is the Lord's going to do it. I said, the Lord's doing it. I said, God's doing it. Right now, while we're sitting here, God is moving. And so we want to look at how God's doing it, what God's doing. And I know that the word of the Lord is a light unto my feet, that it's a light unto my path. Amen. GPS, that it is my navigational system that directs me to the future. That's one of the reasons we need the word so much. It is your navigation. It is your light. And the less you get of it, the more you're going to be confused. The more you're going to be disorientated. The more you get of the lamp and the light, the better you're going to be able to see. Amen. Hallelujah. No wonder the enemy tries to keep you from the word, keep you busy and overwhelm you and overload you. Yeah, you can see the reason, because he doesn't want you to be directed to your future. He wants you in confusion. He wants you going the wrong way. He wants you, amen, not knowing which way to go. And even worse. And so we don't need the preacher to preach us happy. Amen. You know why? Because we don't need him to manipulate our emotions. I need directions. If I'm lost down below somewhere or even up here somewhere, I don't need a GPS system to give me a massage. I need direction. Don't make me feel good. Get me out of this. Get me out of this place that I'm in. Amen. So I can go to the next level. And I'm here to challenge you this morning to understand that you and I are in the middle of a transition. You probably already know that. You're in transition. You are in the middle of a transition. A dam has burst. Baal-perazim. Where you've been in a place of restriction, we are going from restriction to transition. Ah, now I feel the Holy Ghost. I said I'm going from a place of restriction to transition. Hallelujah. And how we have been restricted, have we not? Come on, somebody talk to me. Many are going from being held back and repressed to being released. Somebody shout released. Yeah, instead of repressed and held back, released. Release me. Glory to God. God is moving as it's bursting through. And you and we and I, and we've been through a tight place, have we not? Anybody want to preach on that for a while? That was an understatement, Pastor. But there's a crack in the wall, and things are beginning to burst open. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? I know that because the Philistines, the enemy, got wind of it, and we see that that's why they've set themselves against us. And against you. I've noticed that when he was anointed king, he was already anointed, but then he was appointed. When they heard about it, that's when they came against him. When the enemy heard about it, that's when he came against you. Whew, heard that you were anointed king and appointed king. Amen. We're going to look at that. So we're in transition. David is coming into transition. It's not a surprise. He's been anointed before to be king. Amen. His appointment is now catching up with his anointing. Catch that now. He was anointed when he was still a shepherd boy to be king, but it took years for the appointing to catch up with the anointing. How many know we've all been anointed? I said we've all been anointed when we came in to the body of Christ and we got a new heart. God anointed, says you have an unction from the Holy One. You have an anointing. It's not just pastor has an anointing. You have an anointing, whether you're using it or not. Elvis Presley had an anointing. You can hear it when he sang the songs and the gospel songs. Many have an anointing. You can hear it. Even though they may be singing secular, you feel the anointing upon their life. They've been anointed. Amen. And so the anointing, the appointing is catching up now with David and is caught up. But you can be anointed for something that you have not been appointed to yet. Amen. The anointing is just a prophetic utterance. It's a release. This is what destiny is mandated for you to come to. So you got to wait for your appointing to catch up with your anointing. How many are waiting for it? Go on back to the sheep to work. Whatever you do, just wait for it. One of the greatest frustrations of youth is you can see more than you can lay your hands on. You know how it ought to be. And how it ought to be done, but you're not in the position to do it. Amen. You've got an utterance, you've got a word, you've got a concept, but you haven't been proven. And I may know every idea and every concept must be proven by the furnace of affliction. I may know there's a reason for your affliction. You have an anointing, but you also have an appointing. Glory to God. Every one of you. So many times God will let you know when this is over and yet you're going to run a company, and when this is over, you're going to be the manager, and when this is over, I'm going to put you in this place, and when this is over, you're going to marry so-and-so, but don't tell them, amen. And there you go back to your little office, your little cubicle, with all those ideas and all those concepts, frustrated. Have you ever been frustrated? So many can't tell you how frustrated they've been, just sitting there, boiling like a kettle, whistling like a teapot. And got all kinds of stuff. Why? Because God is humbling us. Because you humble yourself, God will exalt you. But if you exalt yourself, God will bring you to abasement. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's my other notes. We're going to be here all day, so take your jacket off and get comfortable, folks. I'm just kidding. God will bring you to abasement if you don't humble yourself. So we've learned how to get blessed anyway. Amen? I said we've learned how to get blessed anyway. And I may know it wasn't time yet. I said it wasn't time yet. But in the fullness of time, God always does things in the fullness of time. In the fullness of time, God sent his son, forth his son, in the fullness of time, on the day of Pentecost, when the day of Pentecost was fully come. Amen. We talked about the definition of fullness the last couple of weeks. I gave that to you. It's a powerful thing. Look it up in the dictionary. If you were not here to get that definition, fullness covers so much wholeness. Everything is in that fullness. God always does things in the fullness of time. The fullness of time is when the appointing catches up with the anointing. Amen. Fullness is when the appointing, the anointing catches up with the appointing. Praise God. David is at that point. I might know, I believe we're at that point. I said, I believe we're at that point. Brother, sister, I believe you're at that point. Well, your anointing and your appointing are meeting together. That's why the enemy has come up against you. It said they all came. All the Philistines came. You know, it's one thing when just a few come against you. But when you got all hell coming against you. You want to preach on that for a little while, Deacon and Sheriff? Yeah. Yeah. You must have quite an anointing, which I know you have. And the appointing is coming into focus. They're coming together. David's at that point. I believe we're at that point. He's not been appointed yet, but now he has been. He's just been made king. Amen. And Saul is dead, and he's been crowned king. Now his reality is caught up with his vision. Anybody have a vision? What you saw afar off yesterday, God will do now. Somebody's coming into a do-it moment. Amen. The Lord did it. David said, the Lord did it. You're coming into a do-it moment. The Lord did it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm coming into the Lord did it moment. We're coming in as a church to the Lord did it moment. God did it. God did it. Couldn't have been done any other way. Couldn't have happened any other way. God did it. Because we've tried every way. Amen. I shouted about it. I saw it afar off, but I'm on the verge of that thing coming to pass. We're right on the edge. But things are the worst when you're the closest. I said things are the worst when you're the closest. The worst of winter comes when winter is almost over. The worst of labor comes when the baby's about to come. Huh? Ladies? Morning sickness is bad. But when it's time for that little joker or jokeress, if you don't have an epidural, come on, ladies. Pain comes to the greatest when you're the closest. And now David has been anointed to be king. And now the Bible teaches us with this power comes pressure. We didn't see this when we were shouting about it. Woo, I'm going to be this. Thank you, Jesus. I like that. I heard that. We saw it. We felt the power of the words, the anointing, but we didn't see that the moment we moved into a new level, here comes a new devil. Rephaim. Rephaim was a place, a vale of the giants. Uh-huh. It was there before Abraham. It was Canaan. It was about 3 miles south of Jerusalem. It was a fertile place, and they fought over it often because it was so valuable. It was a vale of giants. Has anybody know what I'm talking about, the giants? Anybody seen a giant? How many know that we've had a few giants in our house? Had to kick them out. Some are still trying to get them out. Come on. Oh, some of you are going to be honest with me. That's good. The rest of you are lying, but that's okay. So they've come to attack him at the Vale of Giants. When they heard that he was king, they heard you were saved, when they heard you were blessed, when they heard that he was king, everybody who hears about your blessing, I may know they're not glad for you. Get a new car. Some will be glad and some won't. And the better the car, woo, the better the reaction. Come on. And just because you are conquering doesn't mean you won't have conflict. So here comes the Philistines. Something we have to understand is that David is a man of passion. Do I have any men and women of passion in here today? Hold up your hand. Any women of passion? Any men of passion? Glory to God. Rest of you are passionless, but it's okay. No, you're scared. Didn't raise your hand because you don't know what I'm going to say next. I don't believe you're not raising your hand. I don't know what he's going to do. What are you going to say? He's off the chain. Amen. But I may know whatever David did, he was passionate about it. When he danced, he danced with passion. When he fought with passion. When he played his instruments, he played them with passion. He not only played them, he created them, he made them. He was so passionate, he wrote poetry. Passionate people can walk into an empty place and see it filled. Passionate people can take a nothing job and make and turn it into something. We got some passionate people in here. They've taken some nothings and turned them into somethings. Woo, I feel that right now. God wants you to know he loves your passion. I said he loves your passion. He loves your passion for what you do and when you get up in the morning, what you have to do to go and to be and to do. It takes passion to do that. So it takes passion. Passionate people can be creative. Amen. David was passionate. They can be creative until you make them mad. Passionate people can flip out on you and it turn into something you have never seen before. I know you passionate. Yeah. I know you flip out too. Uh-huh. David would fight. David would kill. David was a man of war. In fact, one of his problems was that he had shed so much blood, he couldn't build God's house. David was a man of war, but he was also a lover too. He was passionate about that too. But he was also a killer. And it seems to me the Philistines are coming to fight a guy who has a long resume of killing people. You'd think they would say, you know, and I can see David saying, you know what, you picked on the wrong fella. Amen? Yeah. Yeah, yeah, you picked the wrong joker this time. As bad as he was. The man of war he was. But the first thing, notice the first thing he does is fall on his knees. Stay with me now, I'm going somewhere. He doesn't fall on his strength. He doesn't fall on his part. He doesn't fall on his past. He doesn't fall on his habits. He falls on his knees and humbly asks God, shall I go up? And you know what? He says, you want me to whip him? Shall I go up? The reason, because David associates, listen to me, he associates success with prayer. He doesn't associate with power. He doesn't associate with force, not with anger. He associates success with prayer. Let me ask you, do you associate success with prayer? Or do you associate success with talent? Or ability? Or influence? Or recognition? Do you associate success with money? Money, honey. Or do you associate it with prayer? Maybe it's hard for you to pray in the morning. Maybe it's hard for you to pray on Wednesday night. Maybe it's hard for you to pray on any night or any morning. Amen. Because you do not draw a line between what you hope for and prayer. Haven't drawn that line. David says, I do not want to engage in a battle without God. I want to be sure that the God of Israel is on my side. And if he's on my side, I don't care how many troops you got. I don't care how many men you've got. I don't care how tired I am. I don't care what I'm up against. If he just lets me know that he is on my side, both to do and to will of his own good pleasure, I will run out there and fight you by myself. Hallelujah. If God is on your side, who can be against you? One with God is a majority. David slew the giant. If I know God is with me, I'm going to go out. Matter of fact, I like what Jim Baker said. They had a saying that said, run to the roar. The flesh wants to run from the roar, but the Spirit says run to it. There's sometimes you need to run towards whatever it is, but sometimes you need to run away to it, like if it's some big head dogs. Yeah, yeah. But sometimes you need to just take your authority. Brother Hagin talked about one of those, what do they call them dogs that got a jaws? Pit bull. He had a vision about a pit bull. There were three of them coming on him. He said he knew he couldn't outrun them. When you know you can't outrun something, you better have something else. And so Brother Hagin turned around. He said, maybe you heard it before. Turned around. He said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. The blood is against you. He said, the pit bulls just stopped in their track. Hallelujah. God is on my side. Something's about to happen in your life. I said, something's about to happen in your life. Something is happening. It's so critical. Not only must you do it, you must do it God's way in order to get the victory in your life. And the temptation is to do it your way or somebody else's way. Be pressured by the Shall I go up? The verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, has been over the years. Because we have a tendency not to trust in the Lord with all that. We trust in ourselves. We trust in our money. We trust in our contracts. We trust in a lot of things. Trust in our own strength. Trust in with all your heart. And don't lean to your own understanding. I mean, don't try to figure everything out. You know why we want to try to figure everything out? Because we want to control things. It's natural. It's normal. I don't want to be out of control. I want things out of control. I need some control. But I may know God's in control. He's got it covered. He's got you covered. He knows what it is. You trust Him. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He shall direct your paths. That's where I fell short. Both places, trying to figure everything out. Because I'm a figure outer. I'm sure you are too. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Came short there too. Acknowledge who? Acknowledge the Holy Spirit. What do you think, Holy Spirit? How does that sound to you? What do I do here? Just quick prayers. Sometimes you don't have a long time. Amen. It's got to be quick. Sometimes you have time to pray, but sometimes you just, Holy Spirit, help me. What do I do here? Show me what to say. Show me what to do. You know, every time I do that, God shows me, Holy Ghost shows me what to do. He'll show me what to say. And when I don't ask Him to show me what to say and how to handle it, I usually end up making a mess. There's a way to talk to people. There's a way to handle people. There's a way to act with people. And it's not out of your irritation or your frustration. Holy Spirit, help me, because if you don't help me, I'm going to kill them. And if you don't help them, they're going to kill me. But you see, you can't depend on them asking the Holy Spirit. You're the one that needs to say, Holy Spirit, shall I go up? Shall I engage? Shall I say that? Should I do that? Should I go there? I'm not saying we're helpless. I'm just talking about just walking through and just acknowledging Him. Yes, we know we have to go to work, Lord. I thank you. But maybe on the way, do I take this way? Maybe there's a question. There's a detour. There's an alternate same thing. Lord, which way do I take here? I've been looking for people sometimes, and I had to have God's GPS because my phone, I took it off because my wife had it, but she wasn't with me. That wasn't too smart, was it? So I'm trying to find it. So I gotta totally depend on God. God, help me, send an angel, get me where I need to go, because you know I am lost out here. And how many times God has taken me right to the place. And then if He didn't take me right to it, I was leaving one place, He got me there, but then I got lost leaving there. Say, well, you should have stayed there. I couldn't stay there. It wasn't my place. Amen. But then He helped me do that. I took a couple of wrong turns, but then He got me on the right thing. Got me back on the route. Rerouted me. Go this way. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, I just felt the leading. I mean, I didn't hear a voice or anything. I just went, finally got out, and I got out of the maze. And all of a sudden, I see a light and civilization again. I was up in the mountain. I was up in the foothills there in Valencia and whatever that is over there. Amen. Magic, yeah. Wasn't no magic in that mountain. I'm trying to get out of that mountain. Shall I go up? Amen. Something's about to happen in your life and mine. It's critical. We've got to do it God's way in order to get the victory. How many know we have got to have the victory? Somebody say victory. Shout victory. I said shout victory. God has the victory for us. Woo! But we're going to have to get with Him and ask Him, shall I go up? We're trying to go up, but we're coming down more than we're going up. Because I don't think we really asked Him, should we go up? We're just doing what comes natural, what we're trying to work through it. Amen. Is that just me or is that you too? I know this is your time for victory. I said, this is your time for victory. I heard God say, this is our time for victory. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what the devil's saying. I don't care what it looks like. This is your time for victory. Hallelujah to God. Tell somebody next to you, this is your time for victory. Sister, this is your time for victory. It's been a long time coming, but it's your time for victory. You didn't think God was going to wait forever, did you? God was not going to let this go on forever. God is too good a God to do that. If something's being let go, there are reasons for that, but then sometimes I think it's because we have not inquired. Huh? We're trying to go it the best we know how. And how many know our GPS is nothing like God's? You got some and it's good, but It's not going to, we need God's GPS. Lord, I thank you for the victory. I thank you it's time for victory. It wasn't your time before. It wasn't my time before. Before was your time for battle. Huh? I may know your before time has been a time for battle. Everybody get that? Has got to get that because you've been in the battle. I may have been battling. Talk to me. Has it been a battle or what? I said, has it been a battle or what? Woo! But every battle is going to be a victory. Woo, I feel the Holy Ghost. I know I'm not just hyping you or talking nice things. I'm telling you, God is saying, this is your time. This is your time for victory. But in order to get the victory, you've got to go about it God's way. I got to go about it God's way. Shall I go up? Because God does not ensure victory if he is not consulted. Come on. And we are proof of that. We would have more victory, I believe, if we had consulted him more. Yeah. He's got to be consulted. I heard somebody say, and I'd never heard this kind of thing, said God helps them that help themselves. And no, God helps them that don't that can't help themselves. But somebody else said, no, God helps them that come to an end of themselves. God helps them that come to an end of themselves. Woo, boy, that's a long end. Come on, talk to me. Don't leave me out here hanging. How many know somebody trying to come to an end of themselves? How many are trying to help them come to an end of themselves? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't want you to rely on your strength. I don't want you to rely on your abilities. I don't want you to rely on your contacts. I don't want you to rely on your resources. I want you to choose your battles. I only want you to fight those things that I've given you permission to fight. There are some things I want you to ignore. There are some things I want you to overlook. We got way too many battles going on. You got to choose your battles. When some say, choose your poison. I don't know about that. Amen. Unless you're giving it to somebody, and I hope you're not doing that. I think God's reading somebody's mind this morning because they got their potion. They were working on it before they came to church. Now you put that down, you flush that when you get home, and you ask the Lord, shall I go up? Amen. Shall I poison him or not? Okay, I'm going to leave that alone. Some of you are going to say, God told me. No, he didn't tell you that. No. I only want you to fight the things I've given you permission to. Some things you got to ignore. Some things I want you to overlook. I only want you to go to battle when I've given you the nod that I am going to fight with you. And if I fight with you, you are going to get the victory. Shout, somebody shout hallelujah, oh my. Can I show you something real quick? Can I take a quick road real quick? David says, shall I go up? And God says, go up. I will deliver your enemy into your hand. And David goes up against them, and he wears them out at Rehem. Whoo! I mean, wears them out. I mean, he just totally demolishes them. And he's wearing them out, and he's praising God and talking about the Lord has delivered them into my hand. Whoa, glory to God. I mean, no, it's one thing to get whipped, but to get whipped with the other guy rejoicing and celebrating. Yeah, that's like getting a whipping. Amen. Mama's whipping was, it wasn't the whipping was so bad, it was her mouth while she was whipping you. Come on. Didn't I tell you? You made me do this. God's saying when you defeat the enemy, don't fight him with your mouth closed. While he's going down. Give me the glory and the praise and the honor and the credit and lift me up and keep on wearing him out. Keep on wearing him out. I said, keep on wearing him out. Some of you are wearing him out, but you're getting worn out wearing him out. You get tired after, oh my God. Here, you take over. Wear that devil out. Have you ever noticed when you stop whipping him, he starts whipping you? Come on. Long as I keep fighting the good fight of faith, I can stand in there. I can be in there. When I back off, I slack off, I let the enemy somehow get me detoured. Amen. Get me turned around. Get me off God's GPS. Get me going this way. And how many know the devil's constantly trying to get you to misdirect you? He's working right now to get you to make decisions that will take you out. And you got to stand against that. You got to fight that. Because, man, when you got pressures, say it's financial, whatever it is, marital, whatever it might be, There's some great pressures he brings to bear. And you really need to inquire of God, shall I go up? If you just do what you think you got to do and what you have to do, you could be in a world trip and find yourself way out there when God wanted you right over here. Trust comes into a play. Faith comes into it. Am I going to trust God? Am I going to listen to God? Am I even going to inquire of God? Am I even going to open the Word? Am I going to be worried? Am I going to fret? Am I going to run around like a chicken without a head on? And I'm going to fight the first escape route, the first thing that comes my way, and take it because I'm in fear? I've been there. And boy, you talk about needing rerouting. Huh? I had a CHP friend that I met here. He stopped me here on 10th Street West and Avenue K there. I was going that way, ready to make a left turn, and he was coming this way, going north. And I didn't know him at that time. That's how I met him. And somebody honked in front of me, and they were honking at somebody doing something coming the other way. And anyway, he whipped it around and come on, and I had made the turn and pulled me over. And you know, they're kind of sneaky. He said, what'd you do back there? Trying to get me to confess something I didn't do. I said, I didn't do anything. What are you talking about? He said, I heard honking going on. I said, well, it wasn't me. I stay off my horn as much as I can. One of my things is people that gets on their horns. I wish at that point I had a tank and could run over them. Unless I need it because I'm in the wrong lane, or you know what I mean. But some people just, I was in Israel, had a chance opportunity, had a paid trip. The church paid my way in the 80s, 87. And I'm telling you, Jerusalem, they got all these little cars, you know, running all around. All night long, all you hear is horns honking. Beep, 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 beep. They honk the horn just for a preliminary, preemptive. Don't even think coming this way. Beep, beep, beep. All night long, I said, my God, they're laying on them horns. They just want to make sure you don't come over on their way. But anyway, back to real quick, make a long story longer. We got to be friends. He asked me, I said, at Little Rock Church, Assembly of God Church, I led the worship there. He said he was looking for a church. He just moved in the area. He lived in Little Rock, ended up going to the church, became a member of the church. Some months after that, he got discouraged with the CHP because of their quota system. They won't tell you that, but they have a quota system of so many tickets that they have to write, and it's unwritten, but it's there. And so he finally kind of worked on him. How many know things can work on you? The enemy will work on you. May not get you today, but he'll keep working on you tomorrow. He'll keep worrying you about it tonight. We feel pretty good this morning. Right now I'm feeling better, but when I leave and walk through these doors, I still got a deal. So anyway, he's growing in the Lord, and God was blessing him there. But he had this thing, this little burr in his saddle. You ever get a burr in your saddle? People get a burr under their saddle. Enemy puts a burr there, you know. It can be interpersonal relationship. Puts a burr there, you know, just starts working it. Yeah. Well, he had a burr, and it was about his job, and one day up and quit. How many know that is not smart? Yeah. You don't quit any job unless you got another one, unless you really have heard from God and you really inquired. And I'm not saying that couldn't happen, but it's not going to happen as often as you waiting on God and letting God open another door. And then you got to watch and be careful, because the grass looks always greener on the other side, but you forgot you still got to mow it. If you're not too careful, the grass over there may be artificial. So you got to have God lead you. You got to have God's GPS. Do I make this move? Do I? It may look good, more money, but I'm going to tell you, it may go out of business the next week as soon as you get on, and then you messed up. Amen. We just don't go walking in and out of the will of God. God has a will and a purpose and a way. He puts you where he wants you. You just don't walk out of a church. You don't walk out of undercovering that God puts you under. You're not running this. I'm not running this. God is running this. God is the good shepherd. He's the one that has made the flocks and the folds. Thank you, Lord, for that penny. More is on the way. Oh, I pick up pennies. Yeah, I know you're too proud to pick up a penny, but you just drop a whole bunch of pennies. It only takes so many to make a million, you know, so drop a whole bunch. But I'm not counting on that. I'm just counting on God. God, I thank you for that. And more is on the way. Somebody shout, more is on the way. Yeah, yeah. You can have what you say. Back to my CHP buddy. He quit his job. For the next 6 months to a year, it was sad to watch He was making toys on a wood lathe in his garage. He tried this. He tried that. How many know sometimes God will not let you get out of some things because you are going to learn that lesson. And you will learn it to a point where you will never do that again. How many have ever had some lesson where you say, I will never do that again? Uh-huh. Years ago, I lost a mobile home and had a car connected with it because I finally got some money out of the refi with the car put in. But God would not answer my prayer with that double wide. I had pastored up in Lone Pine, and we had some guys in the church that went into the business of moving mobile homes. Oh, this has got to be God. Thank you, Jesus. So I said, it's got to be God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, the renter had moved out, and we needed to get out of there because I didn't want to pay two spaces. And so I thought, well, we'll move it down here, put it in the park, and we'll rent it out down here. Amen. Well, we got it all right. Got it down here. And at that time, back in the 80s, all of the trailer guys had taken up all the spaces in the trailer parks. You could not beg, borrow, or buy a trust. Space. So what I had to do, I had to park it out on the back 40, not just here on this guy's property, where it deteriorated. Amen. Well, I was believing God we could set it up somewhere, even in New Hall or somewhere. No, God was not going to let. You know, I'd even fasted 3 days and three nights, water only. And I thought, man, if you fast 3 days and three nights, I only drink some water, you can't miss it with that. Amen. I can't miss it with what I'm using, man, right now. That's pride. I found out you can fast and pray and get down to 90 pounds and still miss it. Just some lessons I learned years ago. We'll talk about your lessons here in a little bit. I said, God, why wouldn't you do that? Why'd you let that go back? I had to take that car and drive it back on the lot. I got a little money out of it, but it wasn't, that wasn't the way God wanted it. He said, because there's some things that you didn't consult me about that I'm not going to do. I'm going to let it take its course, and you will never forget that lesson as long as you live. Kind of like mom and daddy. Why are you whipping on me so much? Because you're going to learn this lesson. How many still remember some whippings you got and you learned that one and you have not forgot it? I may know God is a heavenly father. He's perfect. I said God is a heavenly father and he's perfect. And there's some things that he teaches us that he is not going to rescue us from. For whatever his reasons are, he has good reasons. I learned the lesson. Did God go on and bless me later? Yes, he did. Hallelujah. What car did I get next time? I got a Cadillac. Not because I was trying to get it. Just got a call one day from my brother in Texas. Worked as one of the managers at Grayson Motors there in between Dallas and Sherman. He said some executive brought this beautiful champagne-colored Buritz in. Cost $35,000 when it was new. It got 20,000 miles on it. The lady drove it in Fullerton. She passed away, went to Texas with it, and it's got about 20,000 miles on it. It is so beautiful. Would you like to come and get it? I said, I'd love to come and get it. Hallelujah. Now, I said the car was color champagne. I didn't say I drank champagne. Okay, some of you wasn't listening real close. They said, oh, the pastor's a champagne drinker. No, I'm not saying you can't drink a glass of champagne. I'm not getting into that. Okay, we'll just stay out of that right now. Glass of wine, that's all something else. If you want to know that person, you come and ask me, and I'll tell you what I believe God is. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Got the car for less than $10,000. Look brand new. Better than brand new. Woo! God will make it up to you. We just learn, and I'll bless you. CHP guy, God finally delivered him, but what he went through to learn that lesson. No. No, sometimes you can't get back. That's why you don't want to go out on your own unless you have asked the Lord, shall I go up? Especially critical decisions. Do we do this? Do we move? Do we change this? Do we change? You just don't walk out. Because then what comes on you can come on you is the curse of wandering. Did you know wandering is a curse? Do you know how many Christians we have that are wandering around the wilderness? Have walked out of this place and walked out of that and just telling God, I'm running the program, but I'll let you help me whenever I feel like it. Incredible, because we don't understand that this is not us, it's him. This is not our will, it's his will. It's not my will be done, it's his will be done. Hallelujah, it's not your will be done, it's his will be done. How much is it your will being done versus his will be done? That's a good question. And that is not for me to answer. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Are you getting anything out of this? Got a few minutes to wrap it up. Glory. Wearing him out. The second time. Now notice the second time the Philistines, I may know, there's one thing you can count on, the devil will be back. Yeah. You might have knocked him down, but he ain't out. He'll be back. And he comes back a second time, and this is what separates tradition from relationship. How many know we need to have a separation of tradition from relationship? We have too little relationship, but we got a lot of tradition. Tradition is the way you do it. It's the way I do it. It's the way it's always been done. I've gotten by so far, may not be real good, but I got by. It's my tradition, how I do things. Well, sometimes my tradition is getting me nowhere. Fast. Spinning wheels. Amen. Tradition versus relationship. You don't want to depend on your tradition, how you do things, how you've always done things. You want to depend on your relationship with Jesus Christ, with the Holy Ghost. He's your guide. He's your counselor. He's the one that leads you and guides you into all truth. Woo! Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. I feel like God is ready to lead some folks. He's ready to bring some folks into the promised land. I said he's ready to move us into what we know God has had there all the time. But there hadn't been enough, I don't believe, shall we go up prayers. We're just trying to go the best we can. Isn't that true? We're just doing the best we can. The tradition. Sometimes we've been taught that tradition. But I may know we need a new. If you're going to get a tradition, we need to get one like David. He could have depended on his man and everything, but he falls on his knees, falls on his face, says, God, shall I go up? He could have gone up on his own, and we don't know what would happen at that point. Might have had some. How many know we have some, maybe some, but how many know God wants us to have much more? Fullness. Fullness! How much fullness do we have? How much fullness do we have? Fullness of joy. In his presence, there is fullness of joy. Talking about, I thank God for his presence. I had to fall on my knees this morning about his fullness, his presence. I said, God, I don't even have to see you. I don't even have to see you when you come. Just your presence is heaven to me. Just your presence, knowing you're there, knowing that you're there, guiding and watching over me, keeping me. Like the Roman centurion, you don't even have to come to my house. Just speak the word. Woo. Long as I got his presence, I'm going to be all right somehow, some way. Because in his presence, there's fullness of joy. And on top of that, pleasures forevermore. I need more of his presence. I need to entertain his presence more, as worship leader said this morning. I need to entertain that presence. We should be together all day, talking to each other, praying. I find myself now praying, speaking in my prayer language, when I'm driving, when I'm walking, just everything, just relationship. Tradition is out the door. Tradition of coming to church on Sunday and forgetting about it on Wednesday, forgetting about it on Monday, is over. That tradition needs to come to an end. This is not a Sunday morning religion. This is an everyday relationship. Whew. Glory to God. And do we need it so bad? We got so much coming against us. And let me tell you, if you don't have it coming against you, I don't want to speak negative things. I'm just telling you, you need relationship. I need relationship. I don't need your tradition, and I don't need mine. I need to get rid of some of my tradition, how I do things. Well, how you doing things ain't, where's it getting you? Relationship will get you. Ooh, that's what got you married. But you're going to stay married as long as you don't get into, well, that's the way mama did it. You acting like your mama. Oh, that'll kill relationship. Now you're getting into your tradition. Well, mama lit his cornflakes on fire. He wanted a hot breakfast, so that's what I'm going to do. Amen. Oh, you want a hot breakfast, do you, big boy? Okay. You want cornflakes, honey? Wonderful. He'll come back a second time, won't he? And this is what separates tradition from relationship. When the enemy comes back again, And he does. You get rid of him today, and man, he shows his ugly head sometime down the road. Tradition assumes that since it's the same enemy, fought on the same territory, fighting against the same individual, who is calling on the same God, tradition assumes, I know now how to do this. I know how to do this. How many of church folk know how to do this? We know how to do this. I think that's why we don't have more of God's presence and spirit and move of God, because we know how to do this. We know how to do this. We know how to do church. I don't want to know how to do church. I want the Holy Ghost to come and make this the church he wants it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Take over. I've had all the tradition I can stand, haven't you? I've looked at all the back of the heads I can take. Oh, that's you. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the front. Amen. Did you mean front, brother? Did you say? No, I'm glad you're here. I love to see your face. Amen. And now I see why. David prays again. He honors relationship over tradition. He prays again. Now, if you whipped him the first time when you prayed, shall I go up? Wouldn't you just take it for granted? You want to come out against me? I'm going to whip you again and try to do it the same way. And God says, I found a man who's after my own heart. I found a man who will seek my face. I found a man who will not rely on his own strength. I found a man that will call upon my name. And I may know that is the only reason David gets the victory. Woo! And it's the only reason we're going to get the victory. We're going to have to call on his name. Woo! When we call on his name here on Wednesday, we get some victory. Have you noticed that? Is it getting warm in here? Is it just me? Shall I go up? And you know, to my amazement, God said no. What do you do when God says no? Like one guy said, is there somebody else up there? I need another word. I may know that we usually about do with our human nature what we want to do when we want to do it. Come on. And God help the person that tells you you can't do it. Because you know you get an attitude right away. Huh? All right, I'm going to leave that alone. That kills the anointing right there. You still there? Shall I go up? God says no. He says do not react to the same problem the same way. I may know you got the same problem, but you're not to react to it the same way. What God did with the problem the first time, he may not do the second time. So you trying to fight the same problem the second time the way you did it the first time, God gave it, but now it ain't working. You saw a little something there, but now, no. Is this making any sense? Alternate route in progress. You see the signs out here, alternate route? I'm going to take you another way this time. The last time I brought you out, this time I'm taking you through. Huh? I'm going to take you another way this time. Give us this day our daily bread. Says, I need bread every day. I need directions every day. I must report to the office and to the officer every day to get my assignment. Hallelujah. Those that seek me early will find me. You got to report to the office and the officer. Find out what's going on for the day. You trying to go on yesterday's daily bread? It's moldy, I'll tell you right now. That bread did not last past a day. How many like moldy bread? Nobody like moldy bread. I threw some of that out this morning. Got a lot of penicillin in it, but I'd rather take a shot, wouldn't you, than have to eat moldy bread. Hallelujah. I got a report. I can't be successful if I assume that I must fight today's challenge out of yesterday's information. Huh? Let me tell you how strong what I'm telling you is. Most of the people who lose their jobs, they lose their jobs because they do not get updated information. Huh? They were good employees who continued to do the things the way we used to do them and assume that nothing has changed. But the better employee is the one who keeps getting updates and evolve as the company evolves to the next level. We got to keep getting updates. We're going on old information. The better one. There's nothing worse than having somebody in a position that's doing it the way we used to do it. And at a time we now need and decided to go another way. Not only are they antiquated, they will try to destroy anybody who's trying to take it another way. Because they love the old way as the best way. Nothing worse than being in a church that's giving God what he used to need. Or how about you, giving you what you used to need? But that's kind of old. I need something a little bit. Oh, there I go again. Up here. Yeah, stick. Nothing worse. It's like going into a time warp. I mean, no, we're not in the 60s anymore. Still arguing whether women should wear makeup or not, or head coverings. And you came here because you have a real devil to fight. But we hear them think, come out from among them and don't touch the unclean thing. That's a good scripture. And be separate and we'll cleanse the unclean thing and throw down your Maybelline. It's unclean. Give up your lipstick. Come out of the world. Man, you fighting cancer and they're talking about lipstick. Come on. You're fighting diabetes, asthma, whatever you're fighting. You know what I'm talking about. And God says to him, I don't want you to do anything. But I want you to get in the spot and wait. Somebody say, get in the spot. Yeah, wait on me. I may know waiting is a war tactic. Sometimes doing nothing is doing something. Sometimes being still is a war tactic. Be still and know that I'm God. When God tells you that, be still. Is it time to talk? Time not to? Amen? Time for everything? As opposed to pacing the floor and worrying yourself to death and getting upset and calling people who can't help you and trusting people who are trying to betray you. Hang up the phone, close the blinds, shut the door, wait on the Lord. God's got the victory. He promised to bring you out and to bring me out. Somebody shout, yes! He promised. So I'm going to wait on you, Lord. I'll do whatever you tell me to do today. Go wherever you tell me to go. I don't know who this is for, but something is about to happen in your life and my life and the Philistines that have come against you at a time that God has promised to bless you. I said they come out against you at a time that God has promised to bless you. Isn't that bad timing? And you say, Lord, this is the worst time for me to be in a fight because I'm on the verge of a breakthrough. And why is the devil fighting me now? You know, the Lord sent me to tell you this. Don't worry about it. He said, tell you, don't worry about it. The Bible says, Philippians 4, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Come on. Oh, I gotta believe that by faith too. God had to tell me the other day, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Sufficient is the evil thereof. So I got to hear what he has to say today, knowing he's going to take care of tomorrow. No matter what I'm facing today. I may know what you're facing today can make you worry about tomorrow and make other people worry about it too. Ooh. And if you don't get directions, get what you need, you're going to have two people worrying about it. How many know it's bad enough one worrying about it, but now you got two worrying about it? Now all you got is a bunch of worry warts. Get a picture of a wart. Nah. Amen. Hallelujah. God's promised to bless you. Amen. He's going to guide you out of the situation. I said he's going to guide you out of the situation, and he's going to give you the victory if you'll go by God's GPS. So he's going to guide you through that. He's going to guide you out of that. Somebody's receiving that right now. Somebody needed to hear that today. You came today. That's what you needed. You needed to know that God's going to guide you through that. He's not only just going to guide you, he's going to give you the victory. By faith, touch three people and say, I'm coming out of this. Touch them. I'm coming out of this. Coming out of this. I'm coming out of this. Come on, say it by faith. I'm coming out of this. I'm coming out. And when I come out, I'm going to bring my money. And I'm going to bring my family. And I'm going to bring my kids and my stuff and everything connected. When I come out, I'm coming, I'm going to bring it all out. So I'm going to bring it all with me. I said, I'm going to bring it all with me. Devil, listen to it real good. God said, get all your stuff and come out together. And tell the devil that everything that touches me is going to be blessed. Everything I touch is going to be blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. Get all your stuff. Get all your stuff together and wait on a sound. And when you hear the movement up in the top of the mulberry trees, why, Lord, in the top of the mulberry trees? He said, because I got worn angels over the top of your head. Oh, and the battle is not yours. It belongs to God. And I don't want you to move until I move. God says, I don't want you to move till I move. Woo. And when you hear me moving in the heavenlies, that's when I want you to make your next step. Amen? Come behind me. Go with me. I'm waiting to hear the next move, aren't you? Don't look at your enemy. Don't look at your problem. Don't look at your storm. Looking unto him who is the author and finisher of our faith, As long as you look up, you can go forward. I say you can go forward as long as you look up. Looking at me, trusting me to deliver you and keep your stuff with you. Bring your kids with you. Bring your money with you. Bring your joy with you. Bring your praise with you. Now unto him that is able, amen, to keep what you've committed. Able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you've asked or thought. Able to make all grace abound toward you, that you and me, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. Is God able or not? So take a moment. Why don't you take a moment and give God a good praise right now? Just lift your hand. Just give him a good praise. Lord, you're able. You're able. It's so important that we have guidance. I said it's important that we have guidance above everything else. If we have guidance, we can make it through anything. The assurance of that voice speaking in your ear, turn left at the corner. Don't react to that problem. Don't be dismayed. Be still and see the salvation of the Lord. I mean, all these little nuggets of guidance that come from God prepare your heart in such a profound way that you are never the same again. Little nuggets, little songs God gives you in the morning. I'm amazed at the little songs I haven't sung for years, raised in a church, sung for years, start popping out. Loved one, come on, stand with me. Someone you're not sure that you're a loved one because you've been sitting there long. Loved one, I like that. Always calls it loved one. I may know this is more than a nice Bible story. This is a powerful picture for your life and mine today. And God spoke something so powerful to Bishop Tart, something that he shared a couple weeks ago. And I believe it's for us and for you today. He said this. He said, make sure my people understand that they must pray and fight. Are you with me? We're almost there. Make sure my people understand that they must pray and fight, doing both simultaneously. Don't forsake one for the other. Do them both in conjunction in order to get the victory. Some people pray, but they don't fight. Some people fight, but they're not praying. Come on. And that's futility. That won't get you the victory. When you seek God, pray and step out in faith. Fight. When you pray and fight, victory is assured. I said, when we pray and we fight, victory is assured. The only way it's not assured is because we're only doing one and not the other. We got to do them together. Following God's GPS isn't passive. It's powerful collaboration between you and God. Do you believe you need direction? Some of you don't because you haven't consulted him much at all. You just get up and do what you do. Come on. And God is merciful, full of grace. But I tell you, we live in times where everything is not going to continue as it is. You're going to need guidance. You're going to need more than just what you can do. Come on. I'm talking to somebody. It's not passive, following God's GPS. It's a powerful collaboration between you and God. You got anything going on, collaboration? It requires that you hear from God and then take bold steps to fight, faith to fight every devil. You need faith to fight those devils that would stand between you and your God-given destiny. And before you go, can I remind you? One last time, even when the way seems unclear, and it will from time to time, you are not lost. God sees you, and he's making a way. Whew. Wow. All you have to do is follow his GPS. Tell somebody next to you, don't just say, God sees you, and he's making a way. Yeah. Yeah. If you've been in a tight place, anybody been in a tight place? Take hope. Take hope. Things are starting to burst open in your life. I said things are starting to burst open in your life. You're in transition. We're in transition. Please hear this message today. Don't slough it off. Don't turn it off. Don't forget it. You're going to need it. Possibly as early as tomorrow morning or tonight when you lay your head down. It's the times we're living in. All you have to do is follow it. So if you've been in a tight place, and who hasn't, take hope. Things starting to burst open. I receive that by faith, amen, in my life. I know I'm in transition. You're in transition. Get ready for new direction. Somebody say new direction. Clear guidance and new understanding. Woo, say it again. Clear direction. Clear guidance. New understanding. new direction. Give God a praise, my God. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank and we praise you. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. Woo! I heard Jim Baker say this last week on his program. He said they had 2,000 people at where he's out there in Branson, what God's doing there, and he said the water went out. No water, no bathrooms for 2,000 people. How many know that's a crisis? Biggest crowd he ever had. Ever have the enemy do that? Best thing going, and all of a sudden, man, something goes on. God, not now. God, you've been there. He said God showed him what to do. He cried out to God. He said, God, show me what to do. He said, they're not going to be able to go up. Hallelujah. But he said, out of that crisis, God showed him what to do. And out of that crisis came a great victory. He bought the water lines. He bought everything that had to do with the water rights for less than what it was originally. And now he controls it. Woo! Your crisis can turn into something really good. So crisis can turn into a great victory. I don't know what you're facing today. We all have some crisis situations that from time to time, do we not? Come on. There's people here today, if you think everybody is, you know, just rolling in dough and everything's cool. Uh-huh. They rolling, but it ain't in dough. But I want to tell you, this is your time for victory and mine. And I'm telling you, God is ready to guide you and lead you and direct you. He's ready to bring victory out of that crisis, ready to bring you through in a way like you may have never seen him before. This is the hour for the church. And he that hath ears, she that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Trade your traditions, some of them, for relationship. God wants you to get closer. You're not close enough. You're still out there a bit. You're in danger. That's why he keeps coming to you. That's why he keeps talking to you. That's why the preacher's talking to you today. He's saying the times we're in are dark times. You're going to need my GPS. You're going to have a relationship and need that with me because there are things coming that you are not going to know what to do about. You are not knowing how to handle them, and it's going to look like there is no hope for you or for this world or for this nation, your neighborhood, your family. God says, no, come on, inquire of me. Woo. Makes me want to go and inquire. Makes me want to say, God, what do we do today? What's the directions for today? What's the instructions for today? What are you telling me? What are you telling me, Lord? Told me the other day, and my devotion says, be loving, forbearing one another in love. Consider your own self. And sure enough, that day I wasn't tempted to be anything but forbearing. How many know people can get on your nerves? I mean, nothing get on your last nerve. I mean, the one you got in your trunk. The reserve one. We need GPS, Holy Ghost. So I don't do the wrong thing, say the wrong thing, and mess myself up. I mean, no, a lot of times not the devil messing you up, it's you messing you up. God. All right, that's another message which we don't even want to talk about. Hallelujah. I mean, God is taking the mess up and making it up. And bless it. Father, I thank you right now. I speak to every crisis in the house. I speak to the crisis of the house, of your house, this house, whatever house, financial, physical, emotional, marital, family, children, whatever it is, health-wise, in the name of Jesus. We go to inquire, Lord. Shall I go up? What shall I do? What do I do about this? This thing that is just seems like sure defeat, it's not victory right now. Lord, you have the victory. You are the victory that overcomes the world. You said even our faith is what overcomes the world. So, Lord, I thank you for relationship today. Thank you for drawing each one closer to you. And if you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I invite you to come to him right now and just say, Jesus, I've heard enough to know that you are the Savior. I open my heart to you today. I need a relationship with you. I've had many relationships, but I need this relationship with you. I need someone who knows the way. I need someone that I can really lean on and really trust. I need someone who will really be honest with me. Tell me the truth. Someone who will love me unconditionally. Not love me on my performance. Not love me because I'm good, and not love me because I'm not so good and I don't do so good that day. We have a God who has unconditional love. I invite you to come to Him today. If you have never said yes to Jesus in your heart right now, just say yes. Yes, Lord. Be my Savior. Come into my heart. I give my life to You. Forgive all my sins. Thank You for living, dying, and rising again for me. It's that simple. If you'll confess it with your mouth, if you believe it in your heart, say, Lord, I thank You that You're my Savior. I receive You today. God says, today I give You a new heart, all thumb new. I wash everything away. I remember nothing about your past that's not good. I love You. I came, I died for You. And Father, for the rest, I thank You for the body. I thank You for them and all the things that they're experiencing, going through. Even the crisis that we face in this day of crisis. We live in a world of crisis. Our world is in crisis. Oh, God. Never have we seen it before like we see it today. Never have we been threatened like we are today. Father, I say that in spite of all the threatenings of the enemy, I thank You what Paul and them did. They just let You lead them and guide them, and they did what You showed them. And I thank You that You took care of all those threatenings and all those clouds, dark clouds. Thank You for a bright cloud coming over people's lives this morning. Bright clouds, Father. Ask the Lord rain in the day of the loud rain. I thank You what You're doing right now as we come into a new place, a new relationship with You. Each and every one coming to seek You early, whatever time of the day that may be to them, and to ask You and to check in the office with the living God. Check with Your directions for the day. Get His GPS directing. Hook it up. Punch it in. Hallelujah. And then go on your way rejoicing and watch God bless you. Give Him praise, because God is about to bless you in a way that you've never been blessed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I love you. God loves you. Turn to somebody next to you and say, I got GPS. Go on. Tell them I got GPS. Have a great week. God bless you and keep you. God make His face shine on you. If you need prayer, get somebody to pray for you. Amen. Love you. God.